We've started the topic of قلب سليم, a heart that is wholesome, a heart that is radiant and transparent, a heart that may be described as the immaculate conscience. And we were focused on a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, look for your heart in three places: when listening to the Quran, when seeking knowledge, when in privacy. And if you cannot find it in these three places, then ask Allah to bless you with a heart, for indeed you have no heart. Now, we've looked at the concept of listening to the Quran and how we have a need to respond to the Quran in order to be able to find our heart. Well, let's look at the next place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us to look for our heart, and that is when seeking knowledge. If we look at the first few lines of Surah Al-Alaq, this is Surah number 96, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read, recite in the name of your Rabb who created. خلق الإنسان من علق. He created the human being from a clot. اقرأ, read. وربك الأكرم. And your Rabb is most honorable. الذي علم بالكلم. Who taught to write with the pen. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Taught the human being what he knew not. The basis of knowledge is given in these few ayat or few verses of the Quran. Let's first look at knowledge. If the first word to be revealed was iqra, which means read, and as I've always been saying, it implies read, memorize, understand, apply, and teach, then knowledge must be one of the most important factors, or education is the most important factor in the acquiring of qalb-e saleem. Now, the prerequisite to seeking knowledge requires the emptying of one's heart. There's a wonderful anecdote where a man once visited an alim or a scholar, and he said, you know, I don't understand some of these rules of religion. I don't even understand how some of these scholars who live in the remote places of Arabia, how do they understand it? Because they don't know what our lives are here. So this man who was a professional, an intellectual man, said, I've come to you because I would like to learn about religion so that I can teach my community. The alim smiled, the scholar smiled, sat him down and served him some tea. He kept pouring the tea into the man's cup, even though it was overflowing. And the man looked at him and said, what's the matter? Why are you not stopping? And the scholar said, just like this cup, you are overflowing with yourself. Empty your heart of your ego. Clear your conscience so there is a space for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then only can you learn about His religion. In Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the heavens and the earth cannot contain me, but the heart of a mu'min contains me. It's an important step to take when we want to acquire knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah makes the road to Jannah easy for one who takes a step on the road to acquiring knowledge. Now, we've got to understand that it's not enough to acquire information on a subject, but it's important to be able to absorb it, to understand it, to practice upon the information, and then only can we call it ilm, or then only can we call it knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the treasures of knowledge are opened by asking questions. May Allah bless you. Ask questions, because four persons are rewarded: the one who asks, the one who answers, the one who hears, and the one to whom it is narrated to or related to. Preserve your knowledge in writing, he said. Scholarly discussions, he said, enliven dead hearts, provided they lead to Allah and His commands. Teach others what you know, he said, so that the foundation of your knowledge may become strong, and seek knowledge from others so that the level of your information may increase. But one that really needs to be ingrained in our minds is where he said, طلب العلم فريضة. Seeking knowledge is wajib. It's obligatory on every Muslim, male and female. So how do we start? If we're going to find our heart in seeking knowledge, then there must be an adab, if I can say, a behavior to which we may adopt to. And one of the most amazing books that has been written on behavior of students is Adab al-Mutalimeen, which is written by Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, an amazing scholar. And he writes, and I've taken some extracts from this book, he starts off with the first thing where he says is the intention. He says, it is necessary for the seeker of knowledge to have the intention of first pleasing Allah, to remove ignorance from himself or herself, to remove ignorance from others, and to revive and continue the religion of Islam by enjoining good and forbidding evil, first from himself or herself, and whoever is associated with him or her, and others if that is possible. He says, therefore, it is necessary for a student to be patient during difficulties and to exert himself as much as what is within his capacity. He should not exceed the limits during this worthless life by belittling himself with greed, and should distance himself from prejudice. It's a small paragraph, but there's a lot in it. Intention is very, very important. It's probably the be it and all it of seeking knowledge. Why do you want to seek knowledge? And as Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi says, the first thing is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to reach one's full potential. The second, to remove ignorance. The third, to be able to teach it to others, so remove ignorance from them. And third, to revive the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says the methodology, by enjoining good, by encouraging good, and by being able to forbid evil. In other words, to discourage those who do wrong. Then he says that it's important to start with Tawheed, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be so sure of the unity of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one has no doubts. He says one must select a teacher who is the most knowledgeable, the most pious, and preferably the eldest. He says inquire about the field of study, don't make hasty decisions. He says, there is a hadith which says, you are able to recognize the earth by its fruits. So recognize a person by their associates. So be careful who your company is when you go to seek knowledge. He says, write legibly, not too small, so that if you live to read it, then you will not regret because you're not able to read the text. Because if you die, and your text is unreadable and small, then nobody will be able to gain any more from it and will probably curse you. He says, don't sit too close to the teacher unless it's an emergency. Khwaja continues to say that whoever seeks something with an energy of exertion will find it. In other words, you have to have that vitality, that energy to want to continue do it. And he said, three persons must have this vitality: the student, the teacher, and the parent of the student. He then says, it's necessary for the student to continue to study with repetition at the beginning of the day and at the end. He says, those who stay awake during the night will make their hearts happy in the night, in the day, when they're seeking knowledge. And he said, always have a high goal, for one who has a high goal flies as a bird with wings. Khwaja gives some practical tips. He says, brushing the teeth increases the memory and the ability to speak. Unrestricted eating, he says, causes the intellect to leave. He says, begin the lesson on a Wednesday, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there is nothing that begins on Wednesday except that it will be completed. He says, start with an amount that can be mastered and repeated again and again and again. Khwaja says, lesson is once, but repetition is 1,000. Begin with something easy, he says, near your level of understanding. Don't acquire that which cannot be comprehended. He says, if you do not push yourself in understanding once or twice, then it becomes a habit and you will not understand anything. In other words, he says, when you don't understand something, try to learn that again and again and again. Don't abandon it. Because once you abandon one thing, you will start abandoning another. He says, a moment of debate is better than 1 month of repetition. It's a really important point. Question yourself. Question your topic. Question others on the topic you don't understand and see the difference he makes. But he puts a word of warning. He says, you should not debate with a person who is arrogant and not straight in his nature, because by nature, he influences the akhlaq and limits or affects your potential, and thus the environment will be influenced. And then he says, always think before speaking. Quetta continues to say, it's essential to rely on Allah and not seek your means of livelihood from the knowledge. He says, it's necessary for the student to be occupied with nothing other than the seeking of knowledge, and he should not ever neglect the jurisprudence of religion, tafsir of Quran, hadith, and obviously with the tafsir, the knowledge of the Quran. Quetta gives the times for acquiring knowledge, the recommended times. He says the most excellent time is during adolescence. He says the time before Fajr in the morning and before Maghrib and Isha are the best. He says if you become frustrated, change the subject and then come back to it again. He says, the night is long, do not shorten it by sleeping. The day is light, do not shade it by your sins. He says, knowledge is a pride which has no humility. It cannot be reached except by humiliation which has no pride. I will repeat that because it's so beautiful. He says, knowledge is a pride which has no humility. It cannot be reached except by humiliation which has no pride. He says, sit facing the Qibla at the time of reading anything or working and see the difference it makes. Pray a salah of submission, for it will assist in the acquisition of knowledge. Take a notebook, he says, for every occasion. He quotes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, one who does not have a notebook in his sleeve does not establish the wisdom in his heart. The Prophet ﷺ, once talking to Hilal ibn Yasir, said, is the inkwell with you? This was when the Prophet was teaching him something. Quetta says, the strongest means of increasing memorization is perseverance and exertion. He says, reducing your eating and to recite Salat al-Tahajjud also increases memory. He recommends the recitation of Quran, especially Ayat al-Kursi, and the recitation of Salawat. He says, brush your teeth, drink honey, eat 21 red raisins every day before breakfast, and they will assist in memory retention as well. The causes of forgetfulness, he gives, are eating coriander stalks, sour apples, looking at a person who has been hanged, and reading tombstones. Incidentally, this is not from Khwaja's book, but I remember asking the teacher how he was able to memorize so much. What was his secret? Because he was someone who could just quote faces and quote a hadith and quote Quranic ayat just like that. And he said, recite Ayat al-Kursi, especially on Friday, between Fajr and Dhuhr, as many times as possible. Read Salatul Layl, or Salatul Shab, or Salatul Tahajjud, whatever name you know it by, every day. And the third thing he said was, recite Suratul A'la, especially in the first rakat of Salatul Fajr, and see the difference it makes in your life. It's amazing how these things help, if only we take heed of them. So starting off with these, if I can say, suggestions or help that we've been given in seeking knowledge, then being able to find our heart in it is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue, and this time we will look at the third part of this hadith, which says to look for our hearts in privacy. In other words, reflection in solitude.